Today is the 18th day of the month of January. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Sorry, I was drinking some coffee. Some Wind Farm coffee. In my nice clean canteen mug. Starting the week. How are you? It's great to be back around the global campfire. And here we are. Brand new, shiny, sparkly week. And we do this every week. We just kind of gather together, shoulder to shoulder. We're just all facing in one direction, looking out forward over the week. I'm here in the rolling hills of Tennessee, so I'm seeing the rolling hills and I imagine them being the week. And I look off into the distance and see the mountains. And wherever you are, however it is for you, look out over that week that is before us. It is a story to be told. Story of our life. And we're going to tell it because we have to. And that will be told with our thoughts. That will be told for sure with our words. And that will be told with the choices that we make and the repercussions for good or for deep, deep dark valleys and challenges. The choices that we make, the decisions that we make, the actions that we take are going to tell the story of this week. And so, man, we have a lot of power here. We have been granted quite a lot of authority here, a lot of creative power. I mean, God is a creator. When he speaks, things come into being. We can't, like, make matter out of nothing, but man, when we speak, things come into being. And we are created in his image, and how's this week gonna go? Because we get to choose. So let's choose wisdom. Let's walk that path, and then we get to the end of the week. And we'll look back. This is part of our journey to become self-aware, to catch ourselves, to watch ourselves as we allow the scriptures to transform us. And so, welcome to the brand new week. We'll read from the International Standard Version this week. And we are going to move further. So we have Abraham, we had Isaac, we have Jacob. Jacob's name changes to Israel, and he has children. The children of Israel. Now we're going to focus in for a bit on one of those children, because it really sets up a lot of the story. This child's name will be Joseph. Genesis chapters 37 and 38. Jacob continued to live in the land they were occupying, where his father had journeyed in the territory of Canaan. This is a record of Jacob's descendants. When Joseph was 17 years old, he was helping his brothers tend their flock. He was a young man at that time, as were the children of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. But Joseph would come back and tell his father that his brothers were doing bad things. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his brothers, since he was born to him in his old age. So he had made a richly embroidered tunic for him. When Joseph's brothers realized that their father loved him more than all of his other brothers, they hated him so much that they were unable to speak politely to him. Right about this time, Joseph had a dream and then told it to his brothers. As a result, his brothers hated him all the more. "Let me tell you about this dream that I had," he said. "We were tying sheaves together out in the middle of the fields when all of a sudden my sheaf stood up erect, and then your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." At this, his brothers replied, "Do you really think you're going to rule us or lord it over us?" So they hated him even more because of his dreams and his interpretations of them. But then he had another dream, and he proceeded to tell his brothers about that one too. "I had another dream," he said. "The sun, moon, and 11 of the stars were bowing down before me. When Joseph told his father about this, his father rebuked him and asked him, "What kind of dream is that? Will I, your mother, and your brothers really come to you and bow down to the ground in front of you?" As a result, his brothers became more envious of him. But his father kept thinking about all this. Sometime later, his brothers left to tend their father's flock in Shechem, and Israel instructed Joseph, "Your brothers are tending the flock in Shechem. Come here, because I'm going to send you to them." "Here I am," he responded. "Go and see how things are with your brothers," Israel ordered him, "and see how things are with the flock. Bring back a report for me." Then he sent Joseph from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph reached Shechem, a man found him wandering around in a field. So the man asked him, "What are you looking for?" "I'm searching for my brothers," he responded. "Tell me, where are they tending the flock?" "They've already left," the man answered. "I heard them saying that they were headed to Dothan." So Joseph followed his brothers to Dothan and found them there. Now, as soon as they saw him approaching from a distance, before he arrived, they plotted together to kill him. "Look," they said, "here comes the dream master. Come on, let's kill him and toss him into one of the cisterns. Then we'll report that some wild animal devoured him and wait to see what becomes of his dreams." When Reuben heard about it, he tried to save Joseph from their plot. "Let's not do any killing," Reuben told them, "and no blood shedding either. Instead, let's toss him into this cistern that's way out here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben intended to free Joseph and return him to his father. As it was, when Joseph arrived where his brothers were, they stripped off the tunic that Jacob had given him, that is the richly embroidered tunic that he was wearing. They grabbed him and tossed him into the cistern, but the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. After this, while they were seated eating their food, they looked around and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with camels carrying spices, balm, and myrrh for sale down in Egypt. Then Judah suggested to his brothers, "Where's the profit in just killing our brother and shedding his blood? Come on, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. That way we won't have laid our hands on him. After all, he's our brother, our own flesh." So Judah's brothers listened to him. As the Midianite merchants were passing through, they extracted Joseph from the cistern and sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver to the Ishmaelites, who then took Joseph down to Egypt. Later, when Reuben returned to the cistern, Joseph wasn't there. In mounting panic, he tore his clothes, returned to his brothers and shouted, "He's not there! Now what? Where am I to go?" So they took Joseph's coat, slaughtered a young goat, and dipped the coat in the blood. Then they stretched out the richly embroidered tunic to dry and brought it to their father. "We found this," they reported. "Look at it and see if this is or isn't your son's tunic." Examining it, he cried out, "It's my son's tunic! A wild animal has no doubt torn Joseph to pieces." So Jacob tore his clothes, dressed himself in sackcloth, and then mourned many days for his son. All his sons and daughters showed up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. He kept saying, "Leave me alone. I'll go down to the next world still mourning for my son." So Joseph's fathers wept for him. Meanwhile, down in Egypt, the Midianites sold Joseph to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's court officials, who was also commander-in-chief of the imperial guards. Right about then, Judah left his brothers and went to live with an Adullamite man named Hira. There, Judah met the daughter of a Canaanite man named Shua. he married her, had sexual relations with her, and she conceived, bore a son, and named him Ur. Later, she conceived again, bore another son, and named him Onan. Then she bore yet another son and named him Shelah. Judah was living in Katzib when she bore him. Judah found a wife for his oldest son Ur. Her name was Tamar. But the Lord considered Ur, Judah's oldest son, to be wicked, so he put him to death. So Judah instructed Onan, "You are to have sexual relations with your dead brother's wife, performing the duty of a brother-in-law with her, and have offspring for your brother." But Onan knew that the offspring wouldn't be his own heir. So whenever he had sexual relations with his brother's wife, he would spill his semen on the ground to avoid fathering offspring for his brother. The Lord considered what Onan was doing to be evil, so he put him to death too. After this, Judah told his daughter-in-law Tamar, "Go live as a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up." But he was really thinking, otherwise Shelah might die like his brothers. So Tamar left and lived in her father's house. Some years later, Shua's daughter, that is Judah's wife, died. As Judah was grieving, he visited the shearers of his flock in Timnah, accompanied by his Adullamite friend Hira. "Look," somebody reported to Tamar, "your father-in-law is going to Timnah to shear his sheep." So she took off her mourning apparel, covered herself with a shawl, and concealed her outward appearance. Then she went out and sat at the entrance of Enaim, which is on the way to Timnah, because she knew that even though Shelah had grown up, she wasn't being given to him as his wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, since she had concealed her face. So on the way, he turned aside, approached her, and said, "Come on, let's have some sex." But he didn't realize that he was talking to his own daughter-in-law. "What will you give me?" she asked, "in order to have sex with me?" "I'll send you a young goat from the flock," he responded. But she pressed him, asking, "What security will you put up until you've sent it?" Then he asked, "What pledge do you want me to give you?" "Your signet ring, cord, and the staff in your hand," she suggested. So he gave them to her, had sex with her, and she became pregnant by him. Then she got up and left. Later, she took off her shawl and put on her mourning clothes. Later on, Judah sent his Adullamite friend to take her a young goat, intending to retrieve what he had put up as security for the woman, but he could not find her. He asked the men who lived in that area, "Where's that temple prostitute who was sitting alongside the road at Enaim?" But they replied, "There's been no temple prostitute here." So he returned to Judah and said, "I haven't found her. Also, the men who are from there said there's been no prostitute here." Then Judah said, "Let her have those things. Otherwise, we'll become contemptible. I sent this young goat, but you didn't find her." 3 months later, it was reported to Judah, "Your daughter-in-law, Tamar, has turned to prostitution. And look, she's pregnant because of it." "Bring her out," Judah responded. "Let's burn her to death." While they were bringing her out, she sent this message to her father-in-law. "I am pregnant by the man to whom these things belong. Furthermore," she added, "tell me to whom this signet ring, cord, and staff belongs." When Judah recognized them, he admitted, "She is more upright than I, because I never did give her my son Shelah, and he never had sex with her again." Later, when it was time for Tamar to give birth, she was carrying twins in her womb. While she was giving birth, one of them put out his hand So the midwife grabbed it and tied something scarlet around his hand, observing, "This one came out first." As it was, he withdrew his hand, and then his brother was born. Amazed, the midwife cried out loud, "What's this? A breech birth?" So that boy was named Perez. Afterwards, his brother came out, and around his hand was the scarlet, so they named him Zira. Matthew 12, 22 through 45. Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and unable to talk was brought to him. Jesus healed him so that the man could speak and see. All the crowds were amazed and kept saying, "This man isn't the son of David, is he?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "This man drives out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons." He knew what they were thinking and told them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is destroyed, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. So if Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? If I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your own followers drive them out? That is why they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. How can someone go into a strong man's house and carry off his possessions without first tying up the strong man? Then he can ransack his house. The person who isn't with me is against me, and the person who isn't gathering with me is scattering. So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven either in this age or in the one to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree rotten and its fruit rotten, because a tree is known by its fruits. You children of serpents, how can you say anything good when you are evil? The mouth speaks about what overflows from the heart. A good person brings good things out of a good treasure house, and an evil person brings evil things out of an evil treasure house. I tell you, on Judgment Day, people will give an account for every thoughtless word they have uttered. Because by your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. And some of the scribes and Pharisees told Jesus, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he replied to them, "An evil and adulterous generation craves a sign. Yet no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Because just as Jonah was in the stomach of the sea creature for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment and condemn the people living today, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. But look, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will stand up and condemn the people living today, because she came from so far away to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But look, something greater than Solomon is here. Whenever an unclean spirit goes out of a person, it wanders through waterless places looking for a place to rest, but finds none. Then it says, 'I will go back to my home that I left.' When it arrives, it finds it empty, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they go in and settle there. And so the final condition of that person becomes worse than the first. That's just what will happen to this evil generation. Psalm 16. A special Davidic psalm. Trust in the face of death. Keep me safe, God, for I take refuge in you. I told the Lord, you are my master. I have nothing good apart from you. As for the saints that are in the land, they are noble, and all my delight is in them. Those who hurry after another god will have many sorrows. I will not present their drink offerings of blood, nor will my lips speak their names. The Lord is my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places for me. Truly, I have a beautiful heritage. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my conscience instructs me during the night. I have set the Lord before me continuously, because he stands at my right hand. I will stand firm. Therefore, my heart is glad, my whole being rejoices, and my body will dwell securely. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol. You will not allow your Holy One to experience corruption. You cause me to know the path of life. In your presence is joyful abundance. At your right hand, there are pleasures forever. Proverbs 3:27-32. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, "Go and come back, I will pay you tomorrow," when you have cash with you. Do not plan to harm your neighbor when he is living peacefully beside you. Do not bring a lawsuit against a person for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a violent man, and do not emulate his lifestyle. Indeed, a perverse man is utterly disgusting to the Lord, but he takes the upright into his confidence. Father, we thank you for your word. We are deeply grateful. And as we enter into the story of Joseph, oh, there is so much for us in our own lives to observe. And so, Holy Spirit, quicken us, make us awake, make us aware, make us watching, make us understand and apply this story. And as we navigate this week, we invite your Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth about all things. It's available. Are we paying attention? May we be paying attention every day of this week, that we might reflect back upon it and see that we are going somewhere. Holy Spirit, we love you. We worship you. We invite you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible family. It's Sheena from Saskatchewan calling in another day of praying scripture over legal situations. Psalm 142. Father God, we lift up to you again today Glenn and his sister, who is asking for prayer for Glenn's parole. Father, Glenn and his sister are crying out to you to hear our prayers. When they are overwhelmed, they know who to turn to. Father, these earthly helpers are often nowhere to be found, and Glenn needs an advocate to help with his parole. Father, you are his advocate, refuge, and all he wants in his life. Hear our prayers. Rescue Glenn from his incarceration. Bring him out of prison, and he will thank you. He will glorify your amazing works in his life, and the godly will crowd around him because you are our good, good Father. We pray for provisions, housing, mental health care for Glenn when he is released. Steer him down the right path to honor and glorify you all the days of his life. We ask all these things in your Son's precious name. Amen. Love you, Glenn's sister. Let us know how this fight for parole is going. Love you.
Daily Audio Bible Prayer Warriors. This is Elizabeth and Della. We're calling in. And today is Clarence Daniel's birthday. His birthday today is January 13th, I believe. And Prayer Warriors, please pray for Clarence and also for a few other men that were friends with Clarence. My dear friend, Samson Ellis, has gone on to be with the Lord, but pray for his family and his children, Lord, and I ask you to pray for Ricky White and Eugene Thomas and Bruce DeRise, who's in poor health. Lord, these were all men that were going to college in order to get degrees in Christian ministry within the prison. So they had a very unique calling on their life, and today is Clarence's birthday. So I'd ask that you would lift up Clarence as well as all those people we know who have been incarcerated, many unfairly, but many who have made mistakes that they regret. Lord, we pray that you would comfort these people and show them your favor and that you would bless them where they are right now, and especially Clarence Daniel today. Lord, thank you that you're changing their hearts and you're using them to spread your love to all those other men and women in prison. And as far as scriptures, I'd like to end with this one, or a couple of them. It says, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, Psalm 118, verse 24. And so this next one. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Thank you, Lord. That's Isaiah 41, 10. And lastly, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. 1 Peter 2, verses 21. So dear men and women in prison, we are praying for you that God would comfort you and fill you with his grace and his love, that you might share that.
Hi, yes, this is Amy in Arizona calling on Tuesday, 13th January. I'm asking the community to pray for me. I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma last summer, so I've been doing chemo. It's been kind of broken up, though, because I had to have surgery on my knee and hip. And then now I have to, as of tomorrow, the 14th, I have to get a G-tube, feeding tube. The chemo just caused me to be so nauseous growing up that I lost 25 pounds, and I was already lean to start with. So I'm getting surgery to have it inserted tomorrow. It's going to be good for me because it's nutrition, because I just can't seem to keep stuff down. But I'm also nervous. It's a surgery, and then there are complications, I pray and hope I don't have any of those complications. I just ask the community to pray that it doesn't rupture or anything like that. And that it just all goes really smoothly. And then just your continuous prayers with chemo. I really want to beat this thing. I just want to go into at least remission with the lymphoma. I'm a single full-time working mom of 2 8-year-old twins. And my husband died 2 years ago of a drug overdose. So I could just really use your prayers if this surgery goes really well. Thank you so much, community. You guys are all so amazing. I pray for you each and every single day, everybody. All right. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Hi, Deb friends. This is Barb from Minnesota calling in to request a prayer for one of my best friends, Bobby. Heavenly Father, I come to you today to lift up my dear friend, Bobby, Lord, you know her heart, her history, and every burden she carries. We ask today that you would begin to dissolve the walls of religious guilt and the painful memories of her childhood, where church felt like a chore because of family brokenness. Let your Holy Spirit now reveal a relationship that is full of warmth, grace, and unconditional love. Lord, we specifically pray for clarity and understanding as she listens to your word through DAB. Remove the mental barriers. Reveal the beauty of the Trinity to her as not a complex doctrine, but as a loving Father, a saving Son, and a comforting Spirit. We lift up her battle with myasthenia gravis, Lord. We ask for your healing to touch, to return to her remission, and to strengthen her body when she feels weak. Please release her from the false weight of responsibilities for her adult son and her brother. Help her to trade her control for your peace, knowing that you love them even more than she does. We thank you, Lord, that she has started this journey with the DAB family. We pray that she sticks with it and that every day your word washes away a little more of the old hurt and replaces it with new hope. Thank you, Lord, for being a God who restores what the past has stolen. Let Bobby feel your presence today in a way she has never felt before. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Thank you, Dab family. My friend Bobby is new to the Bible and